The reading today is taken from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, but not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Carol. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Open us up to hear your words. And Lord, what is for us, may we keep. What is not for us, may we throw away. But help us, Lord, to go from this place different. Amen. Amen. I was just thinking about... This is completely off script, as a matter. I was just thinking about actually watching us worship then. I was thinking, you know, just a reminder, this scripture talks very much, and it's very much what I'm going to talk about, is the fact that we must remember that we're not here to perform, but to worship. It doesn't have to be perfect. Isn't that just a relief? We come here to be filled with the Spirit, come here to meet with Jesus, we come to worship together as God's family. And I want to encourage you to not worry about things not being absolutely perfect. Our God is in the middle of the chaos. He's in the middle of our worship. He's in the middle of meeting with us in our hardest moments and our toughest moments. So I just want to lay that out there. We're not here about performing. We're about here about relationship with Jesus Christ. We're about sharing as God's family. We're about being God's family together in all that we carry. Galatians is a genuine letter, I must say. It's believed to be written by Paul and details very much with the struggle of how the Jews and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, in other words, related to each other in the light of the gospel message. Do you know, it's good to hear they had battles then, just the same as we have battles here. There was all this stuff going on at the time. The great thing about our God is always pushing our boundaries to include more people into the kingdom. And the struggles of then will be no different to the struggles of today. But the point is, God wants none to perish. He wants everyone to know him. He wants to open the kingdom doors. So as the non-Jews were becoming Christians, that challenged the very foundations here of the Jewish religion, the very foundations, as they were the first Christians, of course, the first to believe, but they were still Jews, and they considered themselves, of course, the chosen people. We see that sometimes in our church today, don't we? It's almost like one strand of Christianity is better than the other. Actually, it's all about Jesus. Do you know him or don't you? Galatians was written by Paul to deal with the fact that many Jews felt that these new Christians that weren't actually Jewish should partake in the Jewish religious practices to be accepted. And here in Galatians, Paul is challenging that view, as that doesn't allow for grace, actually. It's law. And that God, at this point, our God, is doing something incredibly new with the people. The idea, that others were equally important to God was almost impossible for some of these people to comprehend. Surely not. Surely they can't be as important as us. And yet God is challenging their rituals that once had taken place in order to reach more people with the good news. How do we reach the good news? How do we give the good news out there in this world today? How do we reach more people? That's why we go out on the streets. I was so encouraged to hear that the people, you know, at Sainsbury's, they're talking about us. I was so encouraged to hear that. I heard that over the weekend. People were saying, isn't it great that the church go out and pray for people on the streets? Good witness, mission, getting to know the kingdom is being shared with more people. It's always about knowing Jesus. It's always about allowing God to open the door to people who maybe don't fit our religious practices, our ideal. It's always about grace. Grace has a name, and the name is Jesus. I think that's a line of a song, if I remember rightly. But actually, that's true. Jesus is grace. He's love. Grace is love. Receiving what we don't deserve is grace. God sees the heart. He sees motives. He sees when we are seeking him and his way. And here, Paul is writing to them because the non-Jews had been expected to observe Jewish practices here in Galatia of circumcision. This is where you'll go. Oh. And Paul wants to address the issue that they are saved by grace, not by earning their place through a religious law, a practice. It's not about that. But you may think, why does Paul have such a big issue with it? Well, it's also believed that they may well have also gone back to some of their old pagan rituals as well at this point in Galatia as well. So there's some old stuff going on here that really needs to be got rid of, that they were doing pagan rituals mixed up with all this other new stuff. And it's clear that those causing issues were undermining Paul and his teaching. They're not teaching grace. They're teaching law. In fact, they put a whole load of extra laws on that weren't even in existence at the time, just to make it harder for the people, to keep them oppressed. Sometimes we put things on people to oppress them, maybe not even realizing our motives. So with all that in mind, let's look at Galatians 1:1-10. The open sentences tells us something of the character of Jesus. Paul is an apostle. But he states quite firmly that this is not a man-made thing. This is a God thing. He is sent by Jesus. He is sent by God the Father. See, the character of Jesus here is to send people to do his kingdom work. We are all sent. We come here to gather, to worship, to be sent into wherever we're going during this week to share the kingdom message, to do the kingdom work, to go out in the streets, to share with our neighbour, to share in our work, to share with our family the kingdom message. We are sent, all of us, to do God's work. Paul, of course, is sent as an apostle. There is always action. He is sent, we're filled with the Spirit, and there is action. First the Spirit, the being, and then the doing, not the other way around. He is sent, and he has purpose to be apostle. That is to grow the church, to exercise his ministry of church planting, teaching, performing miracles. Paul knows his purpose. Do you know your purpose? Won't be the same as Paul's necessarily. Might be. And Paul affirms the identity of Jesus by stating that Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father as well. It's really important we get to grips with Jesus died and rose. His Spirit lives in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Believe in eternal life. Believe it and know it. In this part of the Galatians, we're also reminded that Jesus' fate is ours. We will all be raised from life and death. as believers of Jesus Christ. It's shocking how many Christians don't have assurance of their own salvation and don't have assurance that they actually will be in the place of knowing that they will go to eternity to be with God. But that's the truth of what we believe, and we can know it in our knowing. Paul firmly places the hope of the gospel message in the middle of his claimed purpose. He's all about the good news. He's firmly dealing with those who are undermining the position to teach the gospel. He is stating his purpose and his identity in Christ. We all need to learn to state our purpose and our identity in Christ. I am a child of the living God. I am a daughter of the King. That is my identity. First and foremost. My purpose is to minister, to enable others. My purpose is to come here and to preach to you, to open the gospel to you, to speak to you, to minister to you as your leader here. What is your purpose? It's not all up to me. It's up to each of us. We're all part of this. I want to enable you to be the best you can be for the kingdom work. Not to do it all. Not to be it all. It's not about me. It's about you. And it's about Jesus and who he is to you. Paul then goes on to bless the people with an amazing prayer. Paul's prayers are great, aren't they? He opens people up to the truth through his prayers. He wishes them grace and peace. And in that, he also affirms once again the theology of the good news again. Good news is spluttered about there, isn't it? Everywhere. Jesus gave himself for them. He has called them to live differently. He has saved them from their sins, and he calls them to turn towards the truth of Jesus, who God the Father is, who is eternal. In the prayer, he affirms again, it's all about Jesus. Who is he to you? He states the simple facts of the gospel, that Jesus is the only way to the Father, only through him. Only through him are we good news. Only through him is there good news. Jesus is the answer. He is God on earth. And the important thing was to know Jesus, not to conform to the religious set of rules with no inward or outward change. That doesn't mean that we do not seek to be holy, by the way. I'm not talking about holy lifestyles or good lifestyles. But we start to understand that religious practice can be empty if it isn't about us having a relationship with the living God. Only Jesus can save us, not a religious practice. It is only through knowing Jesus, the Holy Spirit living in us, that we become holy and set apart. As God molds us and frees us to live abundant lives, free from the chains of the sin that holds us. How God is with us. And our circumstances may be terrible, but the God who is in us is good and amazing and will help us if we let him. So what is the pattern of this first part of the letter? Well, Paul started the letter by affirming his position. He then encourages them. He then gets to his point. They are turning away from the good news of Jesus and from the gospel as they should know it. The affirmation of Jesus dying and rising may well be part of the issue as well, by the way, at this point, that they had an issue here. And I say, as so many times I've talked to Christians and don't really quite believe it. But in Jesus' death, there is grace. He died, he rose. He is alive. God is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. Do you believe it? The people Paul is responding to, those who were twisting the gospel into a different message. Someone who preaches that Jesus is not alive is not preaching good news. Someone who lives it is preaching good news. Someone who speaks it is preaching good news. Someone who doesn't live it is not preaching good news. We preach with our life, not just our words. And he says, actually, that's no gospel at all, is it? In fact, there is no good news in this false doctrine. The lies they believe will lead them to death, not life. Do you believe that God died and rose and lives in you? Do you believe it and live it? Do you really trust him when it's really hard to trust him? Without Jesus' death and resurrection, there is no life. He lives in you and me who believe. And Paul doesn't leave it there. He calls out the culprits. He's brilliant at this, isn't he? This is why some people don't like Paul. I love St. Paul. I think he's brilliant. He just goes, yeah, straight in there. There are people throwing you into confusion, he says. They're throwing you into confusion. Don't listen to them. And he's kind of harsh. He states that if someone does preach against the truth of Jesus, they're cursed. You see, there's no two ways. You either belong or you don't. You either believe in Jesus or you don't. You're either part of his kingdom or you're not. So someone who preaches against the truth is cursed, he says. Paul looks at the situation as a life and death situation. We have a message of life and death to our nation today. People out there need to hear it. We see that on the streets when they go out and they're praying. The amount of people that come back after being prayed for and say that God has done something in their life. Over the last few months, the amount of stories I've had from last year where we've prayed and people have come back and said, do you know what? God's done something. He's alive. He's life and death situation. People need to know that God is real. Do we lead people to law or to grace? I would rather have a house full of sinners who love Jesus and know that they are sinners and are doing their best to live for God than upstanding law who close the doors to the people around them. Do you lead people to law or grace? What religious ways lay dormant in you and I? Do we expect people to fit our pattern before we allow them into the kingdom of God? To Paul, grace is central to the message of Jesus. And to insist that people had to be circumcised to be saved was contrary to the gift that Jesus had bestowed upon them. It was contrary. It was a big issue then. Don't kid yourself. This could have split everything. This was one of those major issues at the time. Sounds minor to us now, but it wasn't. See, circumcision was to identify God's people in the Old Testament, to show that they belonged to God. It was an outward sign. But now that Jesus had died and rose, and the Holy Spirit was now the sign that we belong to God, it should be the inward sign showing in our outward actions, in other words. Our hearts are to be circumcised. Our hearts are to show that we belong to the living God. It means our hearts are to show that God is here. And it's to come out of us. That through our love, our action, and grace to others, they see Jesus. Acts 15:8 says, God who knows the heart shows that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. And they were talking about the non-Jews then. In other words, what's God doing in that person's life? Can you see the Holy Spirit in action? Can you see that person seeking God? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Romans 2:28-29 reads, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly. Outward actions, with no heart change. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew, in other words, is one of God's people, who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. I'm marked by the Spirit of God. He knows me, I know him. Not, it says, by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. This is not saying we will not care about how we act, let's say, or get our life in line. That's a different subject. We need to live how the Bible calls us to live. But as I've already said, it's not to say we should ignore how the life of Jesus shows us how to live either. It's saying that we only really change and become gods by the power of the Holy Spirit being allowed to live in us. Living knowing God is what makes the real difference. This leads to a life of abundance, knowing Jesus. So what is the Spirit doing in the life of those around you, I wonder? Look and see. See, look. Take time with people. Be careful not to put chains on people that stop them getting to Jesus. Be gracious. Make sure you don't call people to not be in freedom. Let's do God's work. Let's call them to freedom. It's easy to judge by religious practices. Whether someone, for instance, I love putting my hands up in the air, but whether someone puts their hands up, because it means submission to God, actually, and the Jews did it, submission to God. But actually, whether someone puts their hands up in the air to worship or not does not matter. Please do if you want to. It's fantastic. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Whether you prefer traditional or a modern style of worship, it doesn't matter. Are you meeting with a living God? Come here with an attitude of worship and worship. If you want to lay prostrate on the floor, do it. I don't care. If you want to dance, dance. I don't care. If you want to sit quietly in a corner and just let the Spirit soak into you, it's fine, okay? It's easy to judge another life without knowing the full facts or knowing what God's done it. I've sat in New Wine worship times where it's been going full arse, like blah, 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 all over the place, and I've sat and not moved, completely silent, and I have had the best times with God. Other times, I've gone for it big time. It doesn't matter. What is the Spirit doing? What is God doing? To be aware of what God is doing, we have to be real about where we are with Him as well. Do you require people to fit in your pattern to be saved? Are you willing to go out there and preach the what looks like the hardest case? And we often find out that's not the truth. Someone just needs to know Jesus and is desperate. What gospel do you preach with your life? How do you live? This is to me as well, by the way. When I say you, don't think I'm going. I always preach to myself. Are you good news to others? Or do you put a noose around their neck saying you have to fit in with my ideas, you have to be perfect? We've got this thing about perfection, haven't we, in our society these days. It's really... It's not God's ideal. Because you know what? None of us are perfect. That's why Jesus died. None of us. We don't seek to do wrong, but let's give each other a bit of a break. Are you open to looking and seeing where the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is working? Let us be people who preach love. We have to correct as well, I know. After all, Paul is rebuking the people here, isn't he? He's rebuking them for not being loving and gracious enough, though. Get it right. Not because they aren't doing religious practices right. It means we need to make sure we challenge people about the right things. Are we challenging people about the right things? God has more of an issue, you know what? If you go and look at the Old Testament, I've said this before, I know, I keep saying it. If you go and look at the Old Testament, the Israelites, his big issue was their grumbling. They grumble, 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 moan, groan, groan. And yet, let's be honest, a lot of the time, we tend to think that grumblings are right. I have a right to grumble about this, be negative and moan and groan, don't we? Now, I'm not saying there aren't times when we need to put things right, and we need to say things, and stuff needs to be dealt with. There's nothing wrong with good critical analysis and looking at how we do things. But sometimes we're not trusting God, or we've not got the full facts, and we will grumble without knowing the full facts. Jesus had more of an issue, you know, with the Pharisees and the religious leaders than he does with that woman at the well who had sinned so much. You've had 5 husbands. In fact, the guy you're with at the moment isn't even your husband. And he goes, go and tell everyone about me. Off you go. Go and be an evangelist. amazing. Amazing God. Or the tax collector, come and join me, isn't he? Or the thief on the cross, today you'll be in paradise because you trusted me. Wow, what a God. That's the God I need. That's the God I've always needed. That's the God I needed when I became a Christian. One that didn't point at me, that said, I love you just the way you are. I'm going to change you because I love you too much to leave you that way, but I love you just the way you are. See, Jesus saw their hearts. He saw their hearts were seeking him. Love is not the easy option. It's the only option. And that can be tough. So where are you religious? What do you need to lay down in order to let others into the kingdom? Have you received the grace of God? Or are you still trying to earn your place in heaven? Because you can't, except he loves you and you have your place. Are you open to the Spirit? Is your heart circumcised? Is it marked with the Spirit? Does your heart show others Jesus through who you are? Do you need to look around and say, what are you doing, Holy Spirit, with the people around me that I haven't seen or what I've misjudged? Are you good news? Am I good news? And does your life preach the good news of the gospel? Ask yourself some questions. So I want to leave it there, because I've probably gone on a bit. You can tell when I've been on holiday, can't you? I've had a sleep. And I want to just pray, and actually we're going to encourage you, if the band could come up for a moment, I just want us to sit, actually. Can we sit during this worship song? So I just... I just want us to just spend time in the Spirit. And I encourage you, maybe, if you want to put your hands out in front, if you're not, I'm going to pray. But first of all, I just want to give you a moment to think about all those things that I've just said. And if there's anything in you that God needs to deal with, remember that there's a prayer point at the after, during the communion, after the service, you can get prayed for, do that. But let's just give the Holy Spirit a moment to just reveal to us anything that isn't gracious in us. Lord Jesus, in this moment, reveal to us anything that isn't gracious. Anything that is a different gospel to the one that you died for us. Lord, help us to receive your love in our imperfection. To know that you love us, you die for us, you rose for us. Help us to receive that. And Lord, help us to open our hearts to those around us. To see through God's eyes other people. To not judge. To encourage, to raise up. And Lord, help us to trust you today with all that we carry. That the living God is active in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Your grace really is enough. And as we sing that, sing it as a prayer. If maybe halfway through you feel like standing up, stand up. If you feel like dancing, dance. If you feel like laying prostrate, do it. We're here to worship.